and trust that you're doing well. And my name is Will Galkin, and we've met many of you before, but it's just nice to be here this morning. We got in, we just had a quick little trip. We're just coming from Paiden Island last week, and so that was kind of a nice trip. I think that's our shortest one in a long time. I think it took us a whole whopping 50 minutes, and I wish every week was like that. That would be great. And so we're thankful to be here and to serve, and I trust that we can just be an encouragement. And just say this really probably to the core, if there's anything we can do in addition to just the evening services, just let us know. We can, if we need to get together some other times or talk or get together prior to the service or after the service or something along that line or whatever, just let us know. And we'd love to just help us all grow in grace. And so thankful for Pastor Mike and his family, and sad for them, and yet praying as God knows exactly what's needed. And I was just thinking just the way that it unfolded here with Pastor Mike's dad's homegoing. I was thinking of my own dad that passed away about 3 years ago, and how that we just were planning on serving another place, and that week got canceled for some reason, and called up the pastor of where my parents were going to church, and just said, "Hey, we're kind of like just passing that way. Would you consider having us?" And he was like, "Well, it's like kind of a terrible time to come for meetings. It's not our best time, but we'd love for you to come Sunday, Wednesday, just preach in the evening." And he said a unique phrase. He said, "Just spend a lot of time with your parents." And that's what we did. And we have a whole team with us. We have about 8 folks that travel with us, and we've got to keep them working, right? And I kind of just said, "You know what? I'm just going to spend time with my parents. You guys, maybe you'll work, maybe you won't." And that's what I did all week. I mean, we got dad in Hot Springs there in Idaho. We went swimming, got the grandkids. We just had a blast. And the next Monday, we're down in Salt Lake, trying to get a bunch of people together to plant a church, and he passed away that morning, and we were able to zip back up, and it's only 3 hours away, and reorganize a couple weeks of meetings, I don't even think we canceled any more. We just reorganized some, and well, we ended up spending about I think it was two weeks with my mom, just straight right then, and it was just such a blessing. For us, one, but then for her as well, just to be able to really try to help her in that transition. So I'm so glad that Pastor Mike can go, and you'll be in our prayers all week. And I know for my own life, and you know, as we were opening up this new era in our own life, as we're trying to shepherd this new group of folks to plant a church, I can only imagine how that Pastor Mike's heart will be in two places at once. And we'll just be praying for you too. And we're glad that we can just come alongside and just support and encourage the body and hopefully equip the body. And then it'd be great to also evangelize the lost. And that's really what we do, is those three things. John in the back with the sound, do you mind turning the monitors down right here a little bit? It's just right here. And so this week, we'll enjoy the evening services tonight. And then also, then we'll take a break on Monday. But then on Tuesday, we'll just kick it up and we'll just go right through. And so I just want to kind of throw it out to the core that we just jump back. With taking Monday off, if we can just really make plans of being here on Tuesday, that'll just really help the momentum of what we're going this week. And we'll start a pre-service on that, Tuesday night. And I'm gonna do something on how people change. Just two nights, Tuesday night and Wednesday night, just talking about how to talk to yourself, not listen to yourself. You know, D. Martin Lloyd-Jones said this. He said, don't listen to yourself, talk to yourself. How many of you ever hear yourself say stupid things? You know, so we think stupid. I mean, we can just flat out think stupid. And so I want to exhort us to talk to ourselves, take truth and punch truth in rather than really listen to lies, and just get the truth in our heart. And so if you can be here for the pre-service, that'll be at 6:30 for us. The teens will kick it up at 6:15. And I'd love it if you guys could be here if that's at all possible. And if not, we'll make sure you can get the full set of notes, or we'll maybe record those, or we'll do something so that you can have access to those. I know I've been hearing a couple of you come quite a distance, and so it might be a little bit rough for you to get there for the pre-service. And so if you can only... If you can only join us for the service, that's totally okay with us as well. And so we'll just enjoy whenever we can see you. And then the teens, they're having their outreach on Thursday. And then we'll do a concert on Friday. And it'll be just real straightforward. What I mean by that is we'll do about 30 minutes of just fun folk Irish music. And then we'll do about 30 minutes of sacred. And then I'll preach for about 25, 30 minutes. And I already know on Wednesday, for Friday, what I'm going to preach is going to be Romans 3. And just going to work our way right through how that we don't have goodness or righteousness. Only God is righteous. We can't make our own righteousness. We need the righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. And so great, great message for really the irreligious or something that's very religious. And so we'll look forward to just preaching the gospel on Friday. So that's kind of the overview of the week. And any questions or thoughts, anything that anyone wants to say? All right, great. Well, take your Bibles and turn to James chapter 3. Sometimes people say, well, how you doing? They want, you know, like, how are you? Then you say, you know, say fine. And they're like, no, how are you really doing? And I think we're good. I think we're, just coming in. We got this week and next week. And so I think there's a little bit of, weariness and tiredness. We've been going pretty strong all spring. And so that's just a week in, week out. And you kind of can feel it right about now. And, but I think as a whole, we're just trusting the Lord to do a work. I'm very, very thankful for the team that's traveling. We've got 8 singles with us this time, and we've had different size groups every time. And this is a very, very great ministry team, very burdened for the ministry. One has been here before, John Moon, and all the rest are new since then. But then we're going from something like 16 years of traveling experience down to 3 next year. And so you can all, you can start praying for me in advance. And we'll just trust the Lord just to get us down the road. And what a joy it is just to pour into folks. We've got 4 engaged couples this time. There's 4 engaged people. Because one of those couples, they're both on the team. So John Moon and Jessica are engaged. And then John Baker's engaged. And then you'll meet Jillian as well. And so they're just doing a great job. Just a great team of folks to serve with. And our kids, Anna Grace just turned 14, and down to, I see a couple of you go, oh my, yes, that means we're all getting old, all right? And isn't that funny when you only see people like every 3-4 years, and they're like little ones, and now they're big ones? It's kind of a fun thing. Well, James, let's get right to it. We've got about 30 minutes here. James chapter 3, verse 13. He just says... for those of you that are just wondering, I'm looking at the King James Version here. Verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. He asks a question. He says, who's wise? And I think that's a good question. Who needs wisdom here this morning? I mean, how many of you can think of at least one circumstance in your life where you need to know what to do, right? We all need wisdom, and I find myself that this is the key question. This is the key question in relationships. This is the key question in our finances. This is the key question in where to go, what to do. I mean, it's just like, who needs wisdom? And the answer is, we all need wisdom. He said in context, right there in 3 verse 1, he says, be not many masters, knowing we shall receive the greater condemnation. Wisdom is needed by leaders. I mean, the more you lead, the more responsibility you have, the more wisdom that's needed. But then wisdom is needed by all. Do you remember the context of how James even starts this book? He says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. And so James is writing to the Christians, the Jewish Christians that were pushed out of their, pushed out of Jerusalem. And whenever there's trials, whenever there's pressure, we seem to get a little more snippy. Isn't that the truth? Let's make that really basic. Have you ever noticed when dad's hungry, he's not as happy as he should be? I mean, just think about it though. If you're pushed out of your home and you don't have that much cash and you're not sure what you're going to do and you're not sure how it's going to all work out and you're thrown into a circumstance where a little bit more raw and somebody says something and we're just a little more spicy, just a little bit more. It's just like have you ever been so irritated? Are you trying to think and like even noise bothers you? Have you ever had that happen? And so here they are, these Jewish Christians are pushed out of Jerusalem. And then his James first verse after greeting, what does he say in verse two of chapter one? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Do you ever feel like punching somebody? Has anyone, have you ever started to just share a little bit of your trial and they jump right into the platitude? And I mean, right away, they're telling you how you should be happy in Jesus. And you're just like, you want to see happy? And he says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That's not my normal response. It's probably all of yours is not mine. You know, be happy with trials of various kinds. And he said this, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And is that not the truth? You know what's amazing there's always a trial. You ever thought about that? There's always a trial. And I mean, this is what I'm thinking. It's finally dawning on me. Like I'm 42 and I finally get it. Like I'm always going to be worried about something. There's always something to be concerned about. I mean, there's always something to do. There's always a problem. In fact, all of life is a trial. I mean, just think about this for a moment. The fact that, let's say we were driving here and we had a blown tire. My response to that blown tire being stuck on the side of the road for an extra 2-3 hours, that's a pressure. That's a trial. But the trip goes fine and I have the extra 2-3 hours that weren't wasted by a blown tire. That too is a trial. I mean, some of us, we only look at trials from the negative, but all of life is a trial. I mean, I need $10,000. That's a trial, right? But then I have an extra $10,000. Did you know that that's actually a trial? Though we kind of want to try that one out, right? But how are we going to spend that money? What are we going to do with that money? Am I going to be thankful for that money? Am I going to brag about that money? Will I be proud about that money? Do you understand? All of life is a trial. I don't have any friends. I have friends. All of life is a trial because all of these circumstances, they push us and they push us to cause us to have endurance. But then this trying of our faith, that patience has a perfect work that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Do you know that God is using all these circumstances to help us to grow up, to help us be mature, to help us make it safely home? I mean, every single one of the circumstances in our life, God's using to really work a maturity in us. But in the middle of it, we don't really know. In the middle of it, we can't see our way. In the middle of it, we can't go forward. And so that's why he says in verse 5, the verse that all of us know, right? Let's just say that, or just since all this, read it for us. He says, if any of you lack what? Let him ask of God that giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And that's where we are. When we don't know which way to go, when we don't know what to do, we need to ask God. We need to come to the Lord in a humble submission and say, God, I don't know what to do. I need you, God. And isn't that what the Lord's doing in all circumstances? Is helping us understand who he is so that we need him most. So who needs wisdom? We all need wisdom, and we see what God is doing in there. So let's ask ourselves another question. What is wisdom? So go back to verse 13. Who is a wise man and doeth knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Wisdom is not intellectual in nature. Some would say, I have wisdom because I have wisdom because I know this. But how many of you know people that know things that aren't that smart? Let me say it this way. How many of you know somebody who has a bunch of degrees but's dumber than a box of rocks? Wisdom is not just a piece of paper. Wisdom is not just a degree, but we're not pummeling those academians, because some of us, just because we know stuff doesn't mean that we are wise. So as we travel for a year, we try to do a kind of an end of the year dealio, kind of a little banquet. And so we took the team last night. We got here and I realized the time, and I was realizing, oh wow, next week we're going to a little bit more of a rural spot. And I wasn't really being prepared. I go, oh, what's the restaurant in the area? So we go to a restaurant, right? So we're taking the whole team out, and I've got a question for you, all right? So my grandpa died of a heart attack. My dad died of a heart attack. The doctor says that I should be careful about what I eat. Did that dictate what I ate last night? What do you think? You judgmental people. And so when the bloomin' onion is being passed around. Yeah, I had some. Because just because you know something doesn't mean it changes your behavior. Just because you know something doesn't make you wise. I mean, it starts with knowledge. Who is endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his meekness of wisdom. You see, wisdom is not intellectual in nature. It's actually behavioral in nature. Let him show out of a good conversation. Let him show out of his beautiful lifestyle. Let him show out of his right choices. I mean, we've all heard James 1 verse 22 before, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Wisdom is not just knowing. Wisdom is making the right choice right now. That's what makes it wise. I mean, if a gunman bursts into here, I mean, we've all been in circumstances where the person stops in front of us. Do I go to the right? Do I go to the left? Do I slam into the back of them? Seriously, I mean, what if there's 10 pedestrians to the right? I mean, it's like that the milliseconds of calculation and the choices and making the right choice. And so what do you do when somebody confronts you, or somebody says something about you, when somebody is mean to you? I mean, it's like those milliseconds that you have, and what spills out of your mouth shows whether or not you're wise or not. The choices you make, why is it that like people they'll make a bunch of purchases, and then somebody say, oh, that was a foolish purchase. Or they might say, wow, that was a wise purchase. Because wisdom is not just knowing something. I like to say it this way. Wisdom is connecting the character of God with life choices right now. It's connecting the commands of God. It's connecting the will and the word of God with life choices right now. We could say it this way. Wisdom is making the right choice right now. That's what wisdom is. It's making the right choice right now. But what we begin to see, it's not just that it's the right choice right now. It's the right choice right now, the right way. He says, with the meekness of wisdom. Meekness is that sweet submission to God and His sovereign control. Okay, so my dad passes away, right? And I mean, I'm right in the middle. I mean, I was the central figure of like 30 folks relocating from around the nation. It wasn't because of me, but I was the relational connector. I was the one that had the connections. But I grew up out west for this church plant in Salt Lake. So I grew up 3 hours north. So I knew a lot of the pastors that were going to come to this gathering. I was kind of like I felt like, you know, like I needed to be on the A game. People were looking to me. I wasn't going to be the guy that was going to lead the church, but I was the guy that needed to own that week of connections. And my dad passes away on Monday. But it you ever in a trial that's just, it's just so big, it's so obvious that your only hope is God, right? So did I complain? I didn't. I just go, guys, I can do nothing about this. And we jumped in our vehicle and we relocated our trailer to Twin Falls, Idaho. and I hung out with my mom, and whatever happened, happened. There was nothing else I could do. So why is it I can submit to God in that trial, but when somebody pulls in front of me, I get mad? You ever think about this? It's like I'm okay with like a health trial where it's like thousands and thousands of dollars and I can't do anything about it. I don't like it, but I can't do anything about it. But when somebody overcharges me $10, I go ballistic. You see what he's saying is wisdom is making the right choice right now, but with a spirit of meekness, a sweet submission to the sovereignty of God and his sovereign control. It's not reactive because reactions, they reveal our idols. Wisdom is demonstrated with the spirit of meekness. I mean, Jesus said, I am meek and lowly. We were told Moses was meek. Paul, that he wrote to the Corinthians with the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. And so to help us understand when we're not living this way, he says now, if you have bitter envy and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthy, sensual, devilish. For envy and strife is there's confusion in every evil work. He says, if you've got bitter envy and strife in your heart, then he says, let's just be honest. That moment, you do not have the wisdom of God. So if you have bitter envy and strife in your heart, then you're not, I like what he says, lie not and glory not against the truth. Do you know what he's saying there? He's saying, quit trying to fake that you're spiritual. Stop it. You're not spiritual. You really aren't. If you've got bitter envy and strife in your heart, you're not as spiritual as you'd like people to think you are. Do you know what bitter envy is? It's where you'd be willing to hurt people for your own self-centered purposes. In connection, and I don't know if I'm going to go there, but this passage really just goes right into a James 4, and he says, so why is there all these fightings and wars among you? Don't you have all these wars and fightings because the desires of your heart? I mean, isn't that why we have like caustic words? I had a desire, and you got in the way of my desire, and so I'm now mad about it. It's like bitter envies. I am actually resentful that you're going to actually be better or equal than me. I'm now fearful that you have an advantage I don't have. Do you know it can actually spill out? I mean, in words like this, Lord, I would rather your work not happen if it's done better by somebody else. Just think about where this all shows up. I've had circumstances where I've been pouring into people. We've had people traveling with us for a long time. And pouring into somebody, telling them, hey, that's not right. You got to change that. They're like stubborn and they're like, no. And then they go away to some conference or somebody talks to them or something. And they come back and they're like, you know what? I was just thinking when I do this, it's wrong. And I need to really change that in my life. And I'm waiting for them to say like you've been telling me for the last 2 years, I just really need to do what you had said. But they don't say that. They say things like, you know, no one has ever told me that before. And I'm like, you're right. I'll get thrown in circumstances because we're itinerant preachers. You know, I'm an itinerant preacher, so I'll preach something. And, you know, do you think I ever really say anything different than like Pastor Mike? You know, I'm basically preaching the Bible, right? And so I'll say, and I'll be standing in the back and I'll be like shaking hands and somebody will be coming by and they're like, wow, I've never heard that before. Will, you are such a great preacher. I'm just like sitting there going, because the pastor's like, what in the world? You know, and I'm just feeling it, you know, because we've all been there where somebody's just like, where somebody actually, we'd actually be so frustrated that somebody didn't say thank you or somebody didn't say you've always been saying that or that was a great idea. That's my favorite is I've got some real strong personality friends and I'll just be somewhere in the background. I'll be like, hey, you know, you ought to really do this. And they'll just, And then like 2 weeks later, I'll see that they're doing that. And I'll call them up and go, great, I'm glad you're doing that. And they're like, and they don't even recognize me. They're just like, yeah, I just had this idea. And I'm like, are you serious? That was 2 weeks ago. I said that. Bitter envy and strife. Strife is the greedy desire for self-promotion at the expense of others. Does that ever take place in a local church setting? Do we ever resent the advantages given to other people? Do we ever get frustrated with other people? Do we ever get angry with other people? He says, if you have bitter envy and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish, earthy. It's just living in a horizontal manner. It's where you're just living like the world lives. That's what he's saying. It's where you're not connecting to the Lord, because wisdom is making the right choices right now. But he says when you're living in this earthy manner, it's like when somebody hits you. What does the world do? When somebody hits somebody in the world, what do? They hit back. When somebody bites, what do they do? Well, we're told in James, Galatians, be not consumed one another, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. That's what the world does. I mean, you swear, I swear louder, right? I forget the names. I'm not really a huge sports person, but that viral video of that lady just letting that tow truck company lady have it, and she's just ripping into that tow truck lady dispatcher, probably has nothing to do with what the circumstance is. And it's funny, in my heart I just feel this injustice, and I just like I feel like I'm just like, man, I want to say something to that girl. And many people tweeted. and isn't that how the world responds? It's like, you hurt me, I hurt you back. You cut me off, I cut you off. I mean, I can't tell you how many times just driving down the road, the road rage, I'll see it, two cars. And I'm just like, whoa. And I'm trying to make sure I'm staying out of their way. But that's what happens. It's like the earthy way of thinking. You hit me, I'll hit harder. Sensual, I'll live according to my feelings. I'll live according to how I feel. I don't feel like getting up in the morning, right? I don't feel like working. I've got quite a few things going on right now. We got our weekly ministry. We've got summer prep, and I've got like school. I'm doing school, and I don't feel like reading last night. I'm looking at it. I'm just like, oh, I don't feel like it. Whoever doesn't do what you don't feel like to do. Whoever doesn't do what you go figure that out, right? And then devilish. It's just sometimes it's just satanic in nature. Have you ever realized? How many of you have ever been in a circumstance where everything was okay in the relationship, and then it was just like Satan just kicked in, and somehow Satan just poisoned the well? And Christy and I can be like that. I mean, we can be like just, I mean, we call it ebb and flow. It's like there's, are you ever in a season, married couples, where everything's awesome, everything's working good, you know, it's just great, and then all of a sudden it's like one thing said, and now everything's bad? I mean, with some pressures in our life, Christy and I had some things happen like that this semester. We're like, I mean, it's like it was the best season of our marriage, and then all of a sudden we're mad. We don't even know why. but that's the source of that. He says, if you've got this bitter envy and you've got this strife, then he says the source of it is that it's earthy, sensual, devilish. And he says, and what does it produce? It says in verse 16, where envy and strife is, there's confusion in every evil work. Confusion is disorder, instability, chaos, unsettledness, revolt, tumult. It's like when there's not an anchor of God, then it's just like, I mean, it's just there's confusion. So like, I was talking to a lady, and she goes, yeah, they don't like me. She's pointing to other people in the church. She was sitting like over here, and she's pointing back over there. They don't like me. I said, really? How come? She goes, because they glare at me during the service. How do you know? Well, I look back there, and they're just staring at me. So what does she do? She's got to get a prayer team. Meets on Tuesdays to pray for the glaring people. So the Tuesday prayer team meets, and they just really pray. And they got a little Facebook site, a secret Facebook site. And they pray, you know, concerned people for glaring Christians or something like that. And they meet and they pray. And then all of a sudden, this person over here is feeling a little bit isolated, you know. Feeling like, wow, I feel like somebody's over there judging me. I don't know. This is weird. There's an odd vibe over there. And so what happens is now they start praying. They get together on Tuesdays, and Now you got the Thursday group. So Tuesday prayer team, Thursday prayer team, and the Thursday prayer team is now praying for the Tuesday prayer team, and they send out little email updates, and they're like, hey, pray for them. I saw another one was glaring today, and we got to pray for them. And then you got the Wednesday group in the middle, and they don't even know. They don't even know. They're like, nobody likes us. I mean, the Tuesday people don't like us, and the Thursday people don't like us. And so the Wednesday group has to start, and because we don't really know why we're praying. We're just praying. And have you ever been where somebody didn't like you? Or when you talk to them, they say they like you. But when you ask them straight up if they like you, they just kind of hem and haw, and they don't act like they like you. It's like there's a party in a room. How many of you like parties? I like parties. Birthday cake. I mean, fun. It'll be great. I walk over. I open the door. I'm going to join the party. And then I open the door. They look at my face and the party stops. And then I close the door and party starts up again. Open the door. Party stops. Close the door. Party starts. It might be me. How many of you have ever been in a circumstance where you didn't know where you stood with another person? See, that's what happens here. The lack of wisdom and the lack of connection between really the character of God and my life choices results in this bitter envying and the strife. And we know the cause of it is it's earthy, devilish, and sensual, but it results in this confusion and every evil work. And so soon, really, what happens is they hurt me and I'm going to hurt them. They said this and I'm going to say this. Oh yeah, that's what they're thinking? Let me tell you what I'm thinking. And what happens is all of a sudden this whole mess of warfare amongst Christian brothers. And he says, now that's not wisdom from above. And what he does is he just gives us in closing, he says, but wisdom from above. And he just gives some descriptors. And this is just to help us to understand, are my life choices, are my words, are my speech acts, is really what's coming out of my life, is this really reflective of, and then he says, the wisdom that is from above is first pure. It's holy. Where does holiness come from? And notice how he does it. From above. And you connect it with the other aboves in this passage. James 1 verse 5. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. He says in 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And so when he says this, he says wisdom that is from above is first pure. He's saying you want to know whether or not you're living in a wise manner. Do you have a life that's characterized by the purity that comes from God? Purity is not just moral. It's not just abstaining from sin. It's also devotional. It's saying no so you can say yes to God. And there's a difference. I've met cranky Christians. Have you ever met a cranky Christian before? I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not doing that. That's bad. I'm not doing that. And you shouldn't do it either. Bad. Okay? And there's certain things that we understand, but you don't have to be cranky. You could be like, no, don't. We're not going there. You know why? Because it takes away our ability to love Christ. So it's moral restraint so that it can be devotional pursuit. And you want to know whether or not you're having wisdom from above? Is first of all, is it pure? And then number two, is it peaceable? I was out with the church plant in Salt Lake. I was thrown in with this whole group of church planters that weren't where I've grown up in. Like I've kind of had I can only go so many places within like a year. And so what happens is you kind of get going in the same circle or a group of people and is associated a lot of times with, similar experiences, whether that's like a college or whether it's a camp or something like that, where there's kind of a group that kind of just you kind of float in. And so with the church plant, we were doing all this interview work with everybody out there that's got any church. And so I was getting thrown in groups that were really, I mean, I really had no problem being with them. I just never known about them. I'm like, oh, wow, unique. Oh, wow. You know, that you got your own thing going. So I was with this one group. And what was really unique is that they, in that group, there were people that were less conservative than me. And there were people that were more conservative than me. And so what that meant is I'm perfectly balanced, right? But I was kind of chuckling because I was just sitting here going, I have no previous relationships. And it kind of reminded me of the group that I typically hang with. And so I was just kind of sitting here just enjoying watching the exchange and stuff. And one of their progressive guys was I was sitting at the table with a conservative, aren't you proud of me? And I was sitting at the table with him, and one of their progressives comes up and starts trashing the conservative right in front of me. And they're going at it. And I'm just kind of watching it going, yeah, have you ever been in a circumstance where you have no dog in the fight and you're just watching something going on and you're kind of like, whoa. And all of a sudden the progressive turns to me and goes, so what do you think? And I wasn't ready for that. And just out of my, I wasn't trying to rebuke him. I just said, well, if it be possible as much with life that then you live peaceably with all men. The whole conversation goes, and now they're kind of just staring at me because I think they were having a good family fight, you know? And all of a sudden, I kind of like poured cold. And I wasn't even trying to. I was just sitting there, and they're just staring at me like. But I thought, you know what? It's easy to be a man of war. It's hard to be a man of peace. I love history. And you know what? The tension before the squeezing of the trigger is sometimes so intense that some people can't handle it, and they pull the trigger too soon. I mean, that's on the big scale, or that's on the small scale. It's just like it's just that tension, because once bullets start to fly, you don't have to think anymore. You're just reacting and responding, and you're just trying. You've got to solve the problem. There's an enemy shooting bullets at me. But that tension, where should I? Should I not? He says, first of all, it's pure, it's peaceful, and then he says it's gentle. It's just careful. It's, do you know this is one that I'm convicted about anytime I see this word? Because I'm such a right-wrong guy. I'm like, I'm very prophetic. I'm like, that's wrong. No, boom, we need to change it right now. And like somebody even like confesses their personality weakness. I'm like, no, it's a spiritual weakness. I'm sure it is. And I'm so quick to jump in it and say, no, this needs to change right now. And the Lord is constantly pounding me on this. So he says, first of all, it's peaceable. I mean, excuse me, it's pure, it's peaceful, it's gentle, it's easy to be entreated, it's teachable. When do we finally arrive? Can somebody tell me when we finally arrive? I turned 40 here a couple years ago, and I was just like, it was like wake-up time, a realization you've spent more than you have to spend, that you're not as spiritual as you thought you would be by this time. You don't pray as much as you thought you would, that you're not going to, in fact, the realization that you're probably not going to change the world. I mean, it just kind of dawns on you. You're like, wow, it's kind of like that midlife crisis kind of point. And I was confessing this to one of our friends. She's about 60. And so we were talking to her, and I said, yeah, I just feel like I'm a loser. And she goes, don't worry, it gets worse. do we ever really arrive? We always need to be taught. Do you know the older needs the younger and the younger needs the older? Do you know how many pressures there are in life and organizations and church because the younger wants the older to kind of hurry up and change because we want to be like super relevant, and then you know the older are really struggling with the younger because the older want us to, you know, stay by the stuff, and that tension. Don't you know the older needs the younger and the younger needs the older? You know, I really enjoy looking out, seeing some younger and some gray, and I'm not going to point any fingers, okay? I do. I love that. You want to know why? Because do you really want a church with just the older? Well, in 5 years, you won't have a church. Do you really want a church with just the younger? And I mean, you'll have Starbucks, but you may not have much more, right? I mean, you want both because we need each other. We are truly better together, and the older needs the younger, and the younger needs the older, and we need to be able to be taught. And you know what? There are things that we need from the older. I mean, I had a circumstance that broke down and whatever, and I was just complaining. I called my dad, and my dad said, was anyone hurt? I said, no. He goes, great, then it's not a problem. I'm like, Dad, what do you mean? I mean, it's like it was my time. It was a problem for me. He goes, nuh-uh. Well, the younger needed the older, but have you ever seen a 74-year-old try to buy something on PayPal? Well, the older needs the younger. I mean, it's both. And we both need to be taught. None of us arrive. And he says, full of mercy and good fruits. It's just a life of compassion and action. Envy is the promotion of self at the expense of others. Mercy is the promotion of others at the expense of self. And he says, do this without partiality. It's like where you love people, not based on what they can do for you. Context, James 2 tells us rich, like how you treat those with money and how you treat those with, that have not money. I mean, that's going to reveal what you really have. And by the way, we need both in our life. Because some of us, we treat the poor really well because we're self-righteous, and we treat the rich bad because we're proud, or flip it. We treat the rich well because we're covetous, and we treat the poor bad because we're materialistic. It's not like one's more spiritual. God will put people that have more than you in your life, and God will put people in your life that have less than you to test who you really are. And he says, without partiality and without hypocrisy. The Will Galkin speaking this morning should not be that much different than the Will Galkin with the team, nor Will Galkin with his family. And the result is that the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace with them that make peace. That really what happens is there's this harvest. It's like you're just like to battle, only by pride cometh contention. And you know what? Jesus really didn't have battle with those that were crucifying him. You see what I'm saying? It takes two. And Jesus was like, no, he's the Lamb of God who's let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And what he was doing is he was yielding, he was submitting, so that he's sowing seeds that are bringing a forth a harvest before he can sow more seeds. And that's what he's saying. You live this way, and there's going to be this full head of peace, at least peace in your heart, that even if other people are angry with you, there's a rest in your soul with you and your relationship with God. So let's just kind of remind ourselves, who needs wisdom? How many of you actually have a certain circumstance you can think about that you need wisdom? Okay. So what do we need to do? If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Let's just pray 30 seconds. Let's just say, God, take this circumstance. Help me to have reactions that are right. Help me make right choices right now. Father, thank you for an opportunity for us just to talk through this. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to live wisely. Help us to live thoughtfully. And Father, to you be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.